أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أعاذني الله وإياكم منها معاشر الأحباب. إخواني وأخواتي، dear brothers and sisters, last Friday we talked about Qadianis or Qadianism or the Ahmadiyya movement, and some brothers wanted to know what are their beliefs or what is the difference between them and us. One of the main themes of disagreement between them and the rest of the Ummah is the finality of prophethood. Khatm al-Nubuwa to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we cannot cover all their beliefs, but at least inshaAllah, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll tackle this issue today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, in Ayah 40, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Al-Ahzab, Muhammad is not the father of any one of your men, but verily he is the messenger of Allah, and the last in the line of the prophets. And Allah is aware of everything. To understand the word here, the statement made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, we need to understand the context in which this ayah was revealed. سبب نزول هذه الآية, the story behind this ayah, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab. This ayah was revealed to provide answers to those objections raised by some hypocrites that caused the storm of slander and mischief in respect to the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Zainab radiyallahu anha. The hypocrites argued that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married with the divorced wife of his son. She is supposed to be his daughter-in-law. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taken his daughter-in-law Zainab as a wife after Zayd, her former husband, has divorced her. This is their allegation, their accusation, their charge against our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this ayah to refute this charge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in ayah 37 that this marriage is the result of a divine sanction. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the desire to get married with Zainab. It was Allah's command. Allah commanded him to get married with her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. in Surah Al-Ahzab, again 37, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرَ زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. Look at the word, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. وَكَانَتْ زَيْنَبْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا تَفْتَخِرْ عَلَى بَقِيَّةِ نِسَاءِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. تقول زوجني ربي من فوق سبع سماوات. She used to show some pride about it, and she say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who made me to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ إِذَا قَضَوْا مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا. And after the divorce them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here, when Zayd had no longer any need for her, that means he divorced her, we married her to you. So it was a command from Allah. There is no doubt about it. We married her to you in order that there not be upon the believers any discomfort or guilt concerning the wives or of their adopted or claimed sons when we divorce them. Then the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to obey Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any other option but to fulfill the command of his Lord. Even though that the messenger of Allah was deeply concerned about the consequences of this marriage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described his psychological state, his fears. He was afraid. He didn't want to marry with her, to get married with her. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him. And messengers are supposed to convey the message of Allah. They are supposed to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and convey His message and fear Allah and not fear people. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. And this is a very powerful and a strong evidence that the messenger of Allah, he is the final messenger, and he did not write the book, because if he is someone who is looking for fame, he would not write about his fears and his private affairs. He would not do it. But he is the messenger of Allah. He didn't have the choice. He cannot conceal this knowledge, this wahi, even though it's talking about his fears and private affairs. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to refute this charge, yani their first allegation is that you have taken your daughter-in-law as a wife in violation of your own law, that the wife of a son is not permitted or is not halal for his father. And this is clear. We know this in our deen. So this is their first allegation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to refute this charge, He said, وَمَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ. Muhammad does not have sons among your men. He's not the father of any one of your men. Then these hypocrites, they came up with a different argument. They said, okay, admitted that the adopted son or the claimed son is not the real son, therefore a father may lawfully marry his divorced wife. But where is the compulsion for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do so? In other words, why did he do it himself? Why he didn't let someone else do it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to refute this allegation, the second one, He revealed the second part of the ayah in the same ayah, وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What does it mean? He's the messenger of Allah. He has to convey the message, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to wipe out this pagan custom through a practical legislation, which is the marriage of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Zainab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to emphasize this point, He said, وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah observed at the end, خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. And he is the last in the line of the prophets. What does it mean? It means he is the final messenger and prophet. No one will come after him. There is no prophet after him. To do the necessary steps to wipe out this pagan custom. To deal with this issue. Then Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't have a choice. He's the final messenger. He has to deal with this issue. He has to solve it. We need, dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand the context of this ayah very well. And you will need it if you argue with a Qadiani. And we have people in our communities that we meet them time to time and we talk to them about it. So this is the context of the ayah. He's the final messenger and he has to deal with the issue. Because if a Khalifa or a reformer, Muslih or an alim, a scholar, wants to deal with this issue after the death of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you think people will listen to him? He's not a messenger. He's not a prophet. You're just a scholar. Other people have different opinion than yours. So the hukum will not take place in our sharia, in our deen, the sharia judgment. It will not be well established. So he's the final messenger. It has to be done in his lifetime. This is how we understand this ayah. Now, let's have a look at their beliefs. How they look at their statement, this statement, خاتم النبيين. This is خاتم النبيين has a different meaning. They explain it by the stamp of prophethood. He is the exalted prophet. He is the stamp of prophethood, which means that the line of messengers and prophets will continue after him. But any prophet who will come after him, this is their explanation, will bear his stamp. And no one will attain to prophethood except through him, through his seal. So they believe in him as an excellent prophet, an exalted prophet. But the line of prophets and messengers will continue. But any prophet or messenger who would come after him, he would bear his stamp. This is how they explain this ayah. Now, the explanation, the context that they gave about this ayah could be a little bit difficult for some people to understand. But let's look at the meaning of khatam in the Arabic language, which is the language of the Quran. If we want to understand the Quran, we have to understand the Arabic language. You cannot go to study English to be able to understand the Quran. Because the English translation is not the Quran. You are allowed to touch it without tahara, without having wudu. You are allowed to give it to a kafir who wants to study Quran. But the pure Arabic language is the Quran. So any other translation is not Quran. To be able to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant in his book, you have to understand the Arabic language. Now let's look at the word khatam in the Quran, in the Arabic language. If we go to the traditional dictionaries of Arabic language, not modern ones, like Lisan al-Arab, Al-Qamus al-Muhit, those are the main sources in the Arabic language. We find that the word khatama means to affix, seal, to close, to come to an end, to carry something to its ultimate end. These are the meanings of the word khatama. And we gave examples. Khatama al-amal is equivalent to faragha min al-amal, which is to get over with the task. Khatama al-ina, the container, which means the vessel or the container has been closed and sealed. So nothing from it can go, nothing can go in it. And nothing from its content can spill out. We have khatam al-kitab. That means the letter has been closed, enclosed and sealed. Or khatam al-kitab, he has finished reading the book. That means he read it from the first page till the end, the last page. We say khatam al-Qur'an. What does khatam al-Qur'an mean? Either he memorized the whole Quran or he read it from the first, from Al-Fatiha till Surah An-Nas. So it's over. He's over with the khatma of Al-Quran. Khatma Al-Quran. Khatma ala qalbih. It is in the Quran, a statement in the Quran. Khatma ala qalbih. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sealed his heart when talking about a kafir or a munafiq. So it cannot perceive anything new. It cannot understand the wahi, the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khatama ala qalbi, his heart is sealed. So these are the meanings of the word khatama in the Arabic language. And even the stamp, if you look at the meaning of the stamp, have you seen a lawyer or a king or a president putting the stamp on a letter before he writes anything? No. Actually, the word khatam, when you say khatam al-sultan, the stamp of the king, or khatam al-muhami, for example, or anything, it took its name from this meaning. That means when the letter is done, the stamp is done, is being put there. And the signature is made there at the end. I didn't see anyone who would put the stamp and sign a letter and it's not yet written. The task has to be finished and then the stamp will be there. Now, for this reason, all our scholars, the scholars of the Arabic language, and the commentators, the scholars of tafsir, all of them, they agreed, all of them, that Khatam al-Nabiyyin means here the last in the line of the prophets. They argue that Khatam al-Nabiyyin was used in its metaphorical meaning. Here we are facing a different issue. For them, Quran has two meanings, or the words in the Quran. They have their original and real meaning and metaphorical meaning. And this is known in every language. That's okay. And even though some of the ayat or some of the words in the Quran that are not clear in the Quran, or they have different meanings, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solved this problem, and we'll talk about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us without guidance, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did solve this problem. Now let's argue, let's accept, or let's admit, for the sake of argument, that this word, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, was used in its metaphorical meaning. It's not the original meaning of Khatam, which is to close, to affix a seal, to bring something to its ultimate end. Something different. Because I had a brother here, a young brother, who met one of them, and they had a discussion, and whenever he talks, he brings an ayah or a hadith, he would tell him, stop, wait. Let's see, if it is metaphorical or original. I mean, that's crazy. When you open this door, wallahi, we have deviant groups in our ummah who opened this door of metaphorical or original. You know why they come up with crazy things? وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ وَقَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Musa alayhi salam, when he told his people, Allah is commanding you to slaughter a cow. Some people, they say, Aisha radiallahu anha. So when we open this door, we're going to lose our religion. But anyway, here, let's admit that this statement here is not clear. Who was given the authority to clarify the Qur'an, to explain the Qur'an to the ummah? It's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So you can explain to people what has been revealed to them. That's why we say one of the wada'if al-sunnah, one of the purposes of the sunnah, that the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ served, is to explain the Qur'an. What did Muhammad ﷺ say about the finality of prophethood? تقدموا إخواني, إخوانكم واقفون هنا, تقدموا, جزاكم الله خير, عندنا في مساحات. What did Muhammad ﷺ said about the finality of prophethood. Did he leave us without any guidance? No. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did his job in the best way, in the best manner. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث رواه الإمام البخاري في كتاب أحاديث الأنبياء, in the book The Ahadith of the Prophets, the hadith number 3455. كانت بنو إسرائيل تسوسهم الأنبياء كلما هلك نبي خلفه نبي وإنه لا نبي بعدي وإنه لا نبي بعدي وسيكون خلفاء كثيرون. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari in the book of Ahadith al-Anbiya, the hadith number 3455, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed the tribe of Israel was guided by prophets. When a prophet passed away, another prophet succeeded him. But no prophet will come after me. This is metaphorical or real? No prophet will come after me. Does it have another explanation? Only caliphs will succeed me. Khulafa, Abu Bakr, and Umar, and Uthman, and Ali radiallahu, and baqiyat al-khulafa. إلى أن تقوم الساعة. إلى أن تقوم الساعة. In a different hadith, in Sahih al-Bukhari, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, إن مثلي ومثل الأنبياء من قبلي كمثل رجل بنى بيتا فأحسنه وأجمله إلا موضع لبنة من زاوية فجعل الناس يطوفون به ويعجبون به له ويقولون هلا وضعت هذه اللبنة؟ قال فأنا اللبنة وأنا خاتم النبيين. This hadith is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. The number of the hadith, 3535. Kitab al-Manaqib. Kitab al-Manaqib. So he said, my position in relation to the other prophets who came before me is like or can be explained in the following example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man, that he gave an example. And look at the example. A man erected the building and adorned the edifice with a great beauty. But he left an empty niche in the corner where just a brick was missing. One brick was missing in the building. Imagine you go to a building, it's beautiful, it's complete, but there is one brick that is missing. So he said, people looked around the building and marveled at its beauty, but wondered why a brick was missing from that niche. So he said, I am likened to that one missing brick, and I am the last in the line of the prophets. وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. You cannot here say خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ is metaphorical. Why? Because he's talking about a building that is complete. All the prophets and messengers completed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete. But there is one brick that was missing, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last messenger. So he said, I am that brick, and I am khatamun nabiyin. So he used the same word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used in Surah Al-Ahzab. So if someone told you, this is metaphorical, tell him, let's go to Sahih al-Bukhari. If you believe that he is the exalted prophet, he is the stamp of prophethood, then you believe in his ahadith, in his statement. Let's go to al-Bukhari and open the chapter of ahadith al-anbiya or al-manaqib and look for yourself. Look at this hadith. If you don't accept al-Bukhari, then that's your problem. But we have our sources in Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, in Sahih Muslim, Sahih Tirmidhi and other books of Hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أُعْطِيتُ سِتًا لَمْ يُعْطَاهُنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ مِنْ قَبْلِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon me 6 favors which the other prophets or the former prophets did not enjoy. And he mentioned a couple of things. And then in number 5 he said, I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a divine message to the whole world. And number 6 he said, and the line of the prophets has come to its final end in me. That's number 6. Hadith in Sahih Muslim and other books of Hadith. In Sunan Ibn Majah, in Kitab al-Fitan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has sent unto the world no messenger that did not warn his people about al-Masih al-Dajjal, the false Messiah. And of course we know that the false Messiah did not come, did not appear, al-Dajjal. So he said, I am in the Hadith, I am the last in the line of prophets. And you are the last community of believers. And without any doubt, the Dajjal will appear amongst you. So there are plenty of ahadith. I cannot keep reciting this ahadith. They are in Bukhari, in Muslim, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear that he is the last messenger and prophet. You know, I thought about it. Why I should be given khutbah about this? This is a simple fact. This is a simple information in the heart and the mind of every Muslim. But when you see Sunni Muslims converting to Ahmadiyya or Qadiani, what are you going to say? It's a lack of knowledge. So we have to explain these matters. We have to talk about them. The matter of prophethood is not a fiqh mas'ala. This is a main article of faith. It's not a matter of disagreement. You know, you put your hand in the prayer here, or you put it here, or you move your finger in the prayer, or you don't. Those are matters. Alhamdulillah, if you follow the sunnah, or you don't follow it, you follow another imam, your salat is still valid. You are among Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You have the tawheed in your heart. You believe in the article of faith. Inshallah, you'll be among the saved people on the day of judgment. But the matter of prophethood is a main article of faith. And the matter is very serious. Because, well, I'll tell you something. If a prophet comes and people believe in him and they follow him, they are called believers and they are Muslims. And that prophet has to give glad tidings of the next one, the next prophet who is coming after him, like Isa alayhi salam did. He gave the glad tidings to his own followers about the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us there is no prophet after him. Do you think that he hid this information? If there is a prophet who is coming after him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would let him do it? Would let people mess around with his deen like this, with his final message? And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he promised that he's gonna protect his deen. The other issue is, it's a matter of nar, jannah or nar. Because if another prophet is coming, is to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we don't believe in him, we'll be disbelievers. Because we have to believe in all the prophets and messengers. This is one of our beliefs, main beliefs. So it's a very serious matter. You either be in Jannah or not. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a vague message, a message that is not clear about this main article of faith in the Quran, and use a metaphorical language about this very serious matter in the Quran, and use Khatam al-Nabiyyin in its metaphorical meaning? I don't think so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that He will guide people, send guidance to the children of Adam. And He did. And alhamdulillah, our deen is clear. I'm saying this because we need this knowledge to convey it to our brothers and sisters, teach it to our children. And I feel very sad when I see people converting from a Sunni aqeedah to going to this madhahib Ahmadiyya or Qadianism. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يهدينا سواء السبيل. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم اجعلنا ممن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم اجعلنا ممن قام ليلة القدر على الوجه الذي يرضيك عنا. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم وحد بين صفوف المسلمين وألف بين قلوبهم. اللهم ردنا إلى دينك ردا جميلا عاجلا غير آجل. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشايخنا ولجميع من له حق علينا وأقم الصلاة.